It's The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega, and it's great to have you with us. As House Democrats move ahead with their impeachment inquiries into President Trump, the executive branch is pushing back. Last week, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was subpoenaed by the heads of three House committees seeking any documents that might illuminate allegations that the president improperly pressured the Ukrainian government to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden. In response to a request from House Democrats to depose five State Department officials who may have witnessed wrongdoing, Pompeo struck a defiant tone, accusing Democrats of bullying and intimidation.
We will, of course, do our constitutional duty to cooperate with this co-equal branch. And we won't tolerate folks on Capitol Hill bullying, intimidating State Department employees. That's unacceptable.
At a press conference in Rome earlier today, Secretary Pompeo doubled down before confirming reports that he had been on the July 25th phone call between President Trump and Ukrainian President Zelensky.
As for was I on the phone call, I was on the phone call.
Secretary Pompeo again denied any wrongdoing.
I know precisely what the American policy is with respect to Ukraine. It's been remarkably consistent, and we will continue to try to drive those set of outcomes.
But questions remain, and they keep coming back to Ukraine. While the media spotlight has only recently turned to the former Soviet Republic, WNYC's Ilya Marets happened to be en route to Kiev just as the story was coming to light.
Yeah, I was actually getting on a plane, basically, just as news had broken that the whistleblower complaint involving Trump and a telephone call with a foreign leader, the news was developing that the foreign leader in question was the president of Ukraine.
Marets was headed to the Ukrainian capital to report on the complicated web of connections between the Trump administration and Ukraine.
So many people in Trump world have connections in Ukraine.
House Democrats have subpoenaed Rudy Giuliani. They want to question him about his communications with Ukraine.
Paul Manafort worked in Ukraine for years, mostly advising former President Viktor Yanukovych.
I asked Ilya about the many connections between President Trump and Ukraine and how they inform the push for impeachment.
It's not really a country that we Americans think about that much. But, you know, Michael Cohen was involved in an ethanol business in Ukraine in the mid-2000s. He also married into a Ukrainian-American family. Of course, Paul Manafort, Trump's campaign chairman, and his deputy, Rick Gates, were very involved in Ukraine. And then Donald Trump himself, in September 2015, he made a speech to a conference in Ukraine via video hookup, and his foundation was paid $150,000 for it. So what we've seen looking at Trump world again and again and again is Ukraine is a country that comes up. You hear a lot more about Russia, but really Ukraine is a part of Trump world, and I wanted to understand why.
I want to break a lot of that down because this is a really fascinating story. Let's start with the fact that, I mean, what do we know about Ukraine's history with corruption? Why is Ukraine even involved in so many of the pieces that we just talked about when it comes to Trump? What makes it so attractive?
Well, a lot of it goes back to privatization, the period after communism where state assets and basically everything was owned by the state was auctioned off and sold and put in private hands. Theoretically, that was supposed to benefit everyone. In reality, what we saw in a lot of post-Soviet countries, not just Ukraine and not just Russia, is a new class of oligarchs came up. And with that growing wealth, there was a growing desire for political influence. If you came here to make money, you were going to be making money most likely with some unsavory people. And part of the flap about Hunter Biden, you know, there's a lot of disinformation about Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, but the part of the information out there that's true is that he was working for a Ukrainian energy company, and that energy company was under suspicion of, you know, a number of shady dealings.
When we talk about a lot of the players who've been involved, politically at least, with Ukraine in this latest development that's leading the impeachment inquiry here under President Trump, Rudy Giuliani is a central piece to that story. What is his history with Ukraine, especially over the past few years, Ilya?
Rudy is so interesting to me. You know, about a year ago for Trump Inc., we did a story about Rudy and particularly about his foreign travel and his consulting business. What we discovered when we looked at that business is he really has come to Ukraine quite a few times or received leaders from Ukraine quite a few times. He was doing a lot of those appearances through a group called Tri-Global Partners, and Tri-Global never responded to our phone calls. They didn't really tell us what they were. It was really unclear to us who ultimately was paying Rudy to come here, and it was also unclear whether these were photo ops or something more. Now, 1 year ago, as we were completing that episode, Rudy shows up at a conference in Armenia, and he's going to be on a panel with Kremlin officials, and there's a lot of people from Russia there. This is in the period when Rudy is representing President Trump as his personal lawyer in the Mueller inquiry. One might think he would want to stay away from anything with a taste of Russia, because Russia was one of the key inquiries in the Mueller investigation. But that's not what Rudy did. Rudy went to Armenia. He did a lot of TV appearances. He wasn't sort of shy about how he operated. And I think what's so interesting as we look at what Rudy has been up to this year and even late last year is a lot of it was in the open. Him looking basically for dirt on opponents, looking for the Ukrainians to open investigations of people President Trump doesn't like, that was happening either in the open or semi-open.
Big part of the story is also the fact that the U.S. military aid may have been used as leverage by the Trump administration in exchange for finding out any dirt, if you will, on Hunter Biden and by extension Joe Biden. Ukraine is currently in an ongoing military conflict with Russia, another player when it comes to the Trump stratosphere. What's it like over there? I mean, is it apparent from where you are that the country is at war?
It's much more apparent than I would have figured, actually, because we don't hear about it very much in the States, but people are dying here every day or every few days. More than 10,000 people have died total in that war, and people are very concerned about it. You know, I spent a lot of time looking for Ukrainians, average Ukrainians, not politicians, not good government types, just, you know, waiters and taxi drivers who were interested in what's going on between President Trump and President Zelensky and Rudy Giuliani. And, you know, a lot of them were not aware at the beginning. Now most of them are aware, but only dimly. They're much more preoccupied with the war with Russia. And I think to the extent that they do care, it's really knowing that the United States has their back, and people care a great deal that what has been a bipartisan agreement to support this country militarily, that it holds. That's now sort of an open question.
You met while you were there with an anti-corruption nonprofit organization in Kiev. What was their reaction to the news that's happening?
Well, this is so interesting, Tanzina. I was just sitting down with Daria Kalinyuk, who's the executive director of this group, ANTAC, as the readout of President Trump's conversation with President Zelensky had been published. So we stopped the interview and we both just individually read the readout and compared notes.
Hi, Mr. J, give me a call and I'm also going to have Attorney General call and we'll get to the bottom of it.
She is a lawyer, a very sophisticated thinker, and somebody who has studied in the United States. And she was really appalled, and particularly appalled at the suggestion that the president could order his attorney general to work with the president of Ukraine to investigate a political opponent.
So is it okay for the president of the United States to have attorney general of the United States to call the president of Ukraine to discuss investigation? Is that okay?
Well, I'm not a lawyer, but I believe you are a lawyer.
It is actually very astonishing to me to see that something like that is happening in the United States, from which we are trying to learn how to make democracy. So I'm embarrassed.
From her point of view, as an anti-corruption activist, and especially somebody working in Ukraine, where the judicial system has a very poor reputation, where people don't trust courts, the separation between the executive and the judicial system is really sacrosanct. It's something that they're trying to achieve. So all of a sudden to see an American president kind of nakedly saying, I'm going to interfere in the Department of Justice and tell them what to do and go after an opponent. That just stunned her.
It is strange because, you know, we could expect something like that happening in a very authoritarian country like Russia, but not from the country which is a role model for us.
Ilya, you've been there for a while. You've been covering the Trump administration and Trump businesses for Trump Inc. As you head into a new season. You've done a ton of reporting on this. What do we do with all this information, with all of your reporting? I mean, how do we learn from this as we here in the United States watch for impeachment as it unfolds?
You know, the thing we haven't you and I haven't really talked about yet is disinformation, but that is sort of at the heart of all of this, is the idea that you can just sort of put out a storyline, and if enough people believe it, it's valid enough that people behave as if it's true. Ukraine is a place that has a lot of experience with disinformation going back to Soviet times, but also in post-Soviet times, where oligarchs control most of the TV channels, where politics is a very dirty business, and where you really need to look closely at somebody's record before you form a judgment as to whether they are honest. You want to look at their track record. You want to look at whether their past statements stand up, whether it's a prosecutor or a member of parliament or anybody else. And that's really sort of a best practice in Ukraine, and it's probably something that we should be doing in the United States. Another thing that I've just been thinking about a lot since I've been here is President Trump has said he ordered a review of military aid to Ukraine because of corruption, because he was concerned about corruption. To my mind, that is really upside down world, because President Trump has really expressed the opposite of a concern about corruption. He hired Paul Manafort, who worked for a corrupt strongman who ruled Ukraine for several years, and Paul Manafort was instrumental in cementing that rule here in Ukraine. And separately, before he was president, Donald Trump railed against the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. And just briefly, that's a law that says American companies can't pay bribes abroad to try to get business. He thinks that's a really bad law. So it's very rich for President Trump to say he's concerned about corruption. I think in his mind, corruption is when somebody does something that he doesn't like or goes against his interests. And what anti-corruption activists here say, and I talked to quite a few, and they're pretty concerned about this, is if that kind of disinformation takes hold in the United States, if people start to see Paul Manafort as a victim rather than an enabler of corruption, that will really harm the efforts of people who want to reform the police, reform the judiciary, and bring open and transparent democratic government to Ukraine.
Ilya Marritz is a reporter for WNYC and co-host of the Trump Inc. podcast. Ilya, thanks so much for your reporting from Ukraine.
Thanks, Tanzina.